When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written on the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This may not sound very Christmassy, but I'm going to start off by saying, for the Jewish people, this period of time could be described as days of darkness. Israel was under Roman authority. King Herod ruled with a strong arm and an iron fist, and could be cruel, such as with the slaying of the children in Bethlehem. That's the sort of evil man he was. But that's to come. The Magi have not yet appeared on the scene. Religion. Faith was not of the heart in Israel. In the heart, maybe, but not of the heart. Doggedly, they fulfilled the law. And then there was the silence of the prophets. For over 400 years, the people waited to hear a word from the Lord. But there was no great prophet since the time of Malachi. There was darkness in Israel. Hope of a light in the darkness. There was hope of sorts. There was no Jew who did not regard his own nation as the chosen nation. But to attain supremacy over all of the nations, how could they do it? God would send them a Messiah, a strong military man. Perhaps he would be another king of David's line, and all the old glories would revive. Some believed that God himself would break directly into history by supernatural means. But in contrast, during this dark, silent period, there were those who believed in a life of prayer and quiet watchfulness. They did not give up hoping that God would one day return in their midst to deliver and save them. They had no dreams of violence and of powers and of armies with banners. All their lives they waited and patiently upon God. Simeon and Anna were two such people who continued to hope and believe, watch and wait. In this passage, Jesus presented in the temple, we see three ancient ceremonies. It was the circumcision and the naming of the boy child. And there was the redemption of the firstborn and the purification after childbirth. These ceremonies have at the back of them the conviction that a child is a gift of God. Of all God's gifts, there is none for which we shall all be so answerable as the gift of a child. Every Jewish boy was circumcised on the eighth day after his birth and named. This was so sacred, it could even be carried out on the Sabbath, when the law forbade almost every act which was not absolutely essential. The redemption of the firstborn. Each firstborn was regarded as holy or consecrated to God. The firstborn of animals were sacrificed, but the firstborn of humankind were redeemed by a payment of 5 shekels when they were 1 month old or a bit older. It was a bit of leeway. Parents could, as it were, buy back their son from God. Joseph bought him back, Savior of the world, for 5 shekels. Let's reflect that God's firstborn was given to the whole world to be sacrificed so that we could be redeemed. His greatest gift to us all. We then are answerable for what we do with God's greatest gift. And the purification after childbirth. When a woman had given birth to a boy, she was considered ritually unclean for 40 days. She could get on with everyday things, but she could not enter the temple or share in any religious ceremony. At the end of that time, she had to bring to the temple a lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon for a sin offering. If she could not afford the lamb, she might bring another pigeon. The offering of 2 pigeons was called the offering of the poor. That was Mary's offering. We might conclude that Jesus would grow up to know the difficulties of making ends meet. On the 8th day, the baby received his name, Jesus. Joseph took him. Mary wasn't able to attend, being ritually impure. Luke tells us that on another day, Mary and Joseph are there with their newborn son of about 6 weeks for the remaining 2 ceremonies. It's about 11 or 12 miles round trip on foot from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. It made sense to do them both in one visit to the temple. Joseph and Mary did everything required by the law of the Lord. They were obedient to it. Simeon and Anna, we don't know much about them, yet Luke gives us a few insights. This chap Simeon, his action could lead us to think he was a priest, but he's not given that title by Luke. So let's take Simeon as a layperson described as righteous and devout, quite a reputation. Simeon is a faithful watchman who will not leave his post until his tour of duty is completed. His goal is to serve the Lord where God places him. My guess is that Simeon is an older man and has waited for decades to see God's promise fulfilled in Christ. Simeon, in prayer, in worship, in humble and faithful expectation, He was waiting for the day when God would comfort his people. God had promised to him that life would not end for him before he had seen God's own anointed king. And so he waits. On this day, Simeon, the best day of his life, the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was with him and led him into the temple. There is someone I want you to meet, in effect. In the baby Jesus, he recognized that anointed king, and he was glad. He was absolutely delighted to meet and hold the most royal in history. Now he was ready to depart in peace. Seeing the Savior of the world was so fulfilling, he said, "That was it, I'm ready to die." His words are sometimes called Simeon's song. This then is the long-awaited consolation of Israel. It's a messianic title, a peaceful, comforting Messiah. Nothing to suggest a military man. And the moment he sees the consolation, though a tiny child lying in his arms, he feels he has peace for all eternity. Then he develops this announcement of salvation. And in a way that astonished people in the temple. Many prophets had foretold him as the desired of all nations, the aspect many Jews seemed to overlook. They were preoccupied with the thought of the Messiah as being theirs alone. From Simeon then, all of a sudden, cutting right through the most intense Jewish expectation, comes an outburst. The prospect before them reaches far beyond the children of Abraham. It extends to and includes the whole world. The child is to be a light not for the Jews only, but for the enlightenment of all nations. This is the aspect of prophecy on which Simeon lays hold. I have seen God's salvation, and this salvation is not just for the Jews, but for all people. And then he goes on to explain that many will be divided over Jesus. Many Jews will listen and follow, and many Jews will reject him, to the point Mary herself will be wounded in her heart because of what happens to her son. Jesus will cause many to fall and rise, and he will meet much opposition. How do people respond to Jesus? If when confronted with his goodness, their heart runs out in answering love, they enter the kingdom. Towards Jesus, there can be no neutrality. We either surrender to him or we are at war with him. It is pride that keeps many from making that surrender. Wherein lies victory? Anna, we know that she was married for 7 years before she became a widow. Many years a widow. Luke tells us Anna was advanced in years and never left the temple. If she was bitter, angry with God, we would understand, wouldn't we? But Luke tells us she prayed and fasted and worshipped continually in God's house in Jerusalem. It is possible that she lived in a side room somewhere in the temple courts, but Luke may be telling us, her entire life centered upon serving the Lord as best she knew. The temple was the focus of her whole life. She was a holy woman, concentrating all her energy on communion with God. She had known sorrow, but she had not grown bitter. She was old, but she never ceased to hope. She never ceased to worship. She never ceased to pray. At the moment, Anna steps forward into center stage. Overcome with sublime joy, she begins praising God for what she knows has happened. It is not clear from the text whether or not Anna heard the words of Simeon. She sees what others cannot. Her reaction is immediate and dramatic. She speaks in a louder voice than she can muster, telling anyone near her about this extraordinary child. Here in front of their eyes is the being who will bring redemption to Israel. They waited what seemed to them a long time for God to appear in the flesh. He used time to test their faith and to build their characters. While they were waiting for God, God was working on them. Now they could see the invisible. Their hope was in the child. Hope for Israel and the whole world. Light was coming into darkness. We know nothing about Simeon and Anna's earlier lives or their later years. We only meet them on one day. And on this one day, God has a special task for them. They are to share the prophetic word of which God is doing among his people. Their task, to make him known. And they're absolutely delighted to carry out the Lord's task. They brought confirmation to Mary and Joseph. Yes, God does want you, Mary and Joseph, to raise his son. They brought good news to everyone who heard it, or heard it secondhand even. They brought good news to be passed on to the Gentiles. There's no limit to those who may receive God's grace. We can be encouraged by these two faithful people because it demonstrates God uses all kinds of people to accomplish his ministry at hand. Common folk like Simeon and Anna should encourage all of us, especially those of us who are already retired. That might be the perfect age for God's calling. We have much more time, though less energy. We may not be privileged to see God's plan or what exactly God is trying to do in our church, but how the Lord will use each of us. But we are asked to remain vigilant, nonetheless, like Simeon. We are asked to continually pray and not give up hope, like Anna. The big story is about the child who grew into the man, Son of God, the Christ, obedient even unto death, to save us from death. But in this short temple episode, we can take encouragement from God's faithful people. Their obedience, prayer and worship through the darkness. And we can see the light coming into the darkness. Simeon and Anna, their task was to make him known. Isn't it our task? To make Christ known. Perhaps we could say to someone soon, "There is someone I want you to meet." Amen.